we tend to think about things like, you know, pornography addiction, or even stuff like, you know, like alcoholism, or like e-cigarettes, or the sort of like joints or vapes or weed, yeah, or whatever, you know, your pick your vice.
Sure.
I think we tend to try and grab at the biggest things without actually dealing with the foundation that's the problem, because sin begins in the heart is one of the things that the Bible teaches us. You know, it's always from our desires from that our actions flow.
Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Hi friends, welcome back to Karina Faith Diaries. This week we have a very special young guest, Jack Forbes. He is a friend of my son Antonio, and Antonio loves him and speaks so highly of this kid. I actually was a part of a gathering that they're doing in town here with a lot of youth from the surrounding areas in the north side of Indianapolis. I was just so impressed to hear how much wisdom and knowledge this kid has. And I think that he has so much to add, not just for us in this audience, but like parenting advice, talking about his family and some of his struggles and what he does in order to grow his relationship with God and strengthen that every day. There's so many pearls of wisdom in this talk, and I'm so excited for you guys to check him out. Well, guys, we have our very first young guest here, and I'm so pumped. This is Jack.
Hello.
In the house, and he's Antonio's friend. I participated in one of your guys' gatherings. They have these gatherings every Friday. It just blew my mind, the amount of wisdom that you displayed in there, and your mannerisms, your tone of voice, the words that you spoke onto me and other people that were there for prayer, too. It was so unbelievable that I really am hoping that our audience is going to get to experience a little bit of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to share anything.
Okay, great. Before we get started, tell me a little bit about who Jack Forbes is.
Yeah, so I like to describe myself as, you know, kind of your typical young Christian. I'm, you know, someone who's working himself out with God. I'm not yet stepped into kind of the fullness of my calling, I don't think, but I'm definitely on the way of, like, you know, trying to get more grounded in the word and, you know, make sure I have, you know, people speaking into my life and just kind of preparing myself for, you know, whatever God has for me. So just kind of exploring everything that I kind of have. And so I kind of describe myself, I'm kind of a nerd with things. I like to get kind of into the nitty gritty. I love different games, whether it's like board games, video games, that sort of thing. I love storytelling, but I also am definitely a politics nerd. So,
oh wow,
my family is Christian and I was raised that way. I would say my sort of like typical rebellion phase came relatively early in my life. Probably by the time I reached like fifth, sixth grade, the kind of that middle school age, that was kind of when I was like, I got that sort of like, you know, like young teen arrogance of like, yeah, I know better than you. What are you talking about? So like, so like I definitely ran that gauntlet pretty early in my life, which honestly, I'm thankful when I look back at, you know, kind of how, you know, God worked through my life of like, there were a lot of things that like, I might have had the inclination towards in my rebellious phase that I wasn't able to go through with because, you know, I'm like 13, 14 years old. So like, you know, I don't have a car that I can just drive away with.
Yeah.
So like that sort of thing is like, so like, I'm thankful for that. But like, I would say I always kind of acknowledged that God existed, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with him until like closer to kind of the closing half of my freshman year is really when I kind of jumped in with him. And then it's been, you know, off to the races from there.
Really? So about 15 years old?
Yeah, about 15. Yeah, about 15.
Was it something specific that happened that led you to want to know more?
Well, that's kind of the curious thing about, you know, my journey specifically is the fact that honestly, not really. You know, there were certain things that I'm sure, like, you know, opening myself up to God a little bit more as I was getting more mature and like starting to actually like, you know, when you're a teenager, you kind of grapple with the values you've been given from your parents and your peers. And you're like, okay, which one of these am I actually going to run with? And so I was starting to tilt more towards back my parents and back towards the things they had taught me. And so that I'm sure played a big factor in, you know, God pulling me back into him. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, I don't know. Like, I didn't have like, you know, I didn't have like a moment like, you know, from, you know, hearing a message or having a friend's testimony. It was just kind of like I was in my room and I was going to do just some other thing. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of grabbed me and was like, hey, And so like it's that moment of just kind of like heightened awareness of like, okay, well, yep, nope, this thing is real. So like,
wow.
I spoke to my brother a little bit, and then I started reading the word. And so I started talking to my parents a little bit more, and it's just, like I said, been off to the races.
Wow. I love that. So for me, I can relate with you. There was not a specific thing that happened, but I feel like when I understood and obviously got a nudge from the spirit to, you know, dive into more of the word and everything, it was preparing me for like a lot of challenges that I was to come. You know what I mean? I don't want to scare you and say that you're going to have challenges, but we all do, you know? No, and so it's like, yes. And it's, I think it's beautiful that he prepares us before things even happen, you know? And I'm glad to know that you had a rebellious phase too. So that gives me hopes for my son, who is wonderful and he loves Jesus. And to me, that's the biggest gift. I'm sure your mom feels the same way. Yeah. I spoke to her a little bit too at the gathering. And it's really wonderful because as a parent, I think that that's the single most important thing that we can ask for our kids is to have a relationship with Jesus, and everything evolves from there. Like you know, to have integrity, you know what's the right thing to do. So when you're faced with temptation or some things, you're like, I already know this. So you are kind of like a Old Testament geek kind of thing, right?
A little bit, yeah. I more than, you know, maybe some of my young peers who typically have a little bit difficulty kind of diving into the Old Testament. I definitely, it's just kind of the way God made me of like, I am kind of very... My mom describes me as a very black and white thinker. So I tend to put things in the category of like right and wrong very, very simply and very drastically, which was part of the problem when I was young is like, you know, I put all of the things that I thought into the right category and all the other things into the wrong category. And so I was just, and so you just couldn't convince me of anything. And so like, I used to be a bit more closed-minded in that way. But the reason I think that helps me with the Old Testament is one of the things that can be struggling for the Old Testament is the law, right? Is like all of God's very specific ordinances and how he goes about them. And like, that can be very foreign to us, you know, especially as Americans, as like, you know, with freedom as our pinnacle kind of virtue in American life. God's laws can feel very foreign to us, but the way he's wired me, it was just kind of like, oh, so this is what right and wrong actually are. Mm-hmm. And so like for me, as much as I love the New Testament, and obviously like, you know, Jesus is the best guy on earth, but like for me, I find a lot of comfort when I read the Old Testament because it's very black and white. It's very how I think. It's like, here are the things that are right and here are the reasons behind them. And here, like basically here's, you know, a playbook of how God thinks about things. And so that has been really valuable to me of like understanding the letter of the law so that when Jesus comes and he explains the spirit of the law, I know what he's talking about. Because, you know, Jesus references the law all the time.
Yes.
When he's talking to like, you know, specifically the Pharisees, but even just his own disciples. Like he talks a lot from the Old Testament because obviously he's fulfilling all those things.
Sure.
And so I think being able to have that foundation in the Old Testament really helps me have a perspective on the New Testament.
Yeah, I find it very difficult, even for adults, to appreciate the Old Testament. And it's actually, I love it too. And I've read, because I started the Bible so many times, so I feel like I read the Old Testament so many more times that this year I actually made a point of starting with the Gospels again, because I'm like, I need some Jesus in my life. The Old Testament can feel very harsh, but I totally agree with you in ways of like, it is the law, and Jesus does not substitute the law. He just comes to fulfill the law, right? But then he says the law above all the laws is love, which is also very important to know. So is there a specific portion of the Old Testament? You said it brings you comfort just from like knowing right from wrong. Is there a specific book or passage that like, it's your favorite or?
My goal is to go through kind of the whole Bible right now. So I just started in Genesis and I've reached Judges now. I've read through, you know, the first five books and then I've made my way through Joshua. And I think probably in the Old Testament, the two main books that always kind of come to mind are the book of Job and then Leviticus as well. Because Leviticus to me is, it's kind of the pinnacle of what I was just talking about like that idea of like, here are all the things that God allows and here are all the things he prohibits and here's the reason behind them and here you, how you go about dealing with them and all that sort of stuff. And so like that sort of like rigid sandbox in which you can operate is very natural to me. And so like that feels very comforting to me because I'm like, even if I'm not, you know, obviously we don't go through like, you know, the sacrifice laws or like, you know, the ceremonial cleansing laws because obviously Christ has fulfilled that. But like having God's perspective on those things, I think helps me understand him better. And so I take a lot of comfort in my prayers when I feel like I have an understanding of like when I do something, even though I'm able to come to God immediately because Christ, mm-hmm. I still have his understanding about how that makes him feel. And so I can understand how to go about praying and how to go about talking with him about different strategies for conquering that in the future. Because, well, you know, like take some like the sexual temptations, you know, mm-hmm. like the Bible is very clear about what it does and does not allow in that realm. And so like when temptation comes, even if I struggle with it a little bit, I can then be like, well, I know how you feel about this because I know what punishments and stuff you give out in the law for this. And I know what types of sacrifices you would require of your people. So I know the cost mm-hmm. that comes with my sin. And so that helps me shape my prayers to him through Christ, of being able to recognize, like, this is the depth of the cost. So let me be that much more thankful for Christ because of what he's done for me. So, mm-hmm. like, that is very comforting to me as a New Testament believer. But the other thing with, like, Job specifically, because the thing that Job does is, you know, people tend to focus on the fact that, you know, he goes through a lot, Job.
Oh, yeah. So I just said that those are both of the two hardest books of the whole Bible that you like.
I really like Job because the thing that Job does is it's very honest about, you know, the human condition and a lot of the things that we go through, whether it's, you know, personal loss or like financial loss, or, you know, even, you know, the joke about the Job is that if you got friends like Job, well, you don't need enemies, right?
Yes.
So like so we can go through that. But the other thing that I like is that the thing that God does through the book of Job is in those first couple of chapters, he pulls back the veil of, you know, the spiritual warfare behind the physical reality.
That is so amazing.
And so like I take a lot of comfort in that.
Obviously, there's so many kinds of temptations for you guys now than I ever experienced in our generation. You know, you have every single awful thing at your fingertips. And I mean that by porn. You know, like in our days, you actually had to have somebody rent a movie to watch a glimpse. And now kids are like so, and I you know, I love when you mention about the consequences in Leviticus too. You know, the reason why God has the laws is because there's consequences for everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And so the sin of, like, say, watching porn, for instance, there's just so much that will bring into your life that mm-hmm. will, you know, destroy your relationships and bring you this addiction. And it's just not of God. So it's not because God's trying to be a mean father, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't, this is too good, you can't have it. No, it's because there's a huge consequence.
Yeah.
So not just that, but like everything else, drug, you know, you like dealings, you know, it's so easy on Snapchat, you can get a joint to smoke in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's so many things. So I kind of want your perspective of like, how can the teenagers nowadays turn from this or have the, I don't know if the willpower, turn to God in such a crazy world?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's difficult. I mean, there are a lot of things, like you said, that we face, you know, at, you know, that are just at our fingertips on mm-hmm. demand for, mm-hmm. you know, 24/7, 365. So, like, I think the thing that God really talks to me about is the verses in the Bible that talk about being faithful with the little things. We tend to think about things from, like, a top-down perspective, when I think God thinks about things from a bottom-up. So, like, we tend to think about things like, you know, pornography addiction, or even stuff like, you know, like alcoholism or like e-cigarettes or the sort of like joints or vapes or weed or whatever, you know, pick your vice.
Sure.
I think we tend to try and grab at the biggest things without actually dealing with the foundation that's the problem, because sin begins in the heart is one of the things that the Bible teaches us. You know, it's always from our desires from that our actions flow. And so, like, you know, you can stop all the actions you want, but if you never deal with the heart of the issue, well, then they're just going to go find something else. And so I think, like, the biggest thing for, you know, Christians who are struggling, or like the message to bring to, you know, our friends that are maybe not believers or skeptics or whatever, is just to, like, show yourself as a contrast. So, like, if you have non-believing friends, like, just take that step and just say no. Like, it's hard. And, like, there isn't, like, really, like, a, you know, 5-step program for willpower.
Yeah.
It's really more just like, you know, if you are a Christian, then that means you have a relationship with God by definition. You can't be a Christ follower if you don't know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just like really pouring yourself into the Bible and God's foundation. Because I mean, that's the other reason that I love, you know, the Bible in general, is just because, you know, it's literally God's handbook for how he thinks and what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think a lot of times we can push past that as Christians sometimes because, you know, we're very excited about, you know, sharing the message of the gospel and, you know, seeing signs and wonders from the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing, or like, you know, speaking prophecies or that sort of thing, that we can kind of forget where our foundations lie. Mm. And so, you know, if you don't have a strong foundation, then, you know, you're good in, you know, the light seasons, but, you know, when storms come and, you know, the roof starts to get destroyed and there's water leaking through the walls and you know, now there's mold in the floor because you didn't take care of yourself. Yeah. It's like, well, now no one wants to be in your house, right? No one's going to want to come to a moldy house, right? Sure. So like, it's the same thing with our spiritual lives. Like, we are God's representatives, so we have to do it well. So like, I think the thing for Christians, you know, especially younger Christians in this day and age, is just really dive yourself into, whether it's through, you know, obviously personal studies, devotionals, or, you know, listening to different sermons and that sort of things, you know, because the other thing is that, you know, there's all this evil that's online, but there's also tons of good. Like, yes. I know for me personally, like, there are all sorts of ministries and different things, or like even podcasts like yours that you're doing, of like, there are so many Christian resources that are online nowadays that are just, you know, you don't have to drive 5 hours to hear, you know, the pastor speak. You can just, you know, flip on his recorded sermons mm-hmm. for the past 10 years
sure.
and start listening. And so, like, I think, like, really taking a focus to shift your perspective to understanding God's perspective on things, and then applying that to, you know, the things we look at. Because, you know, I mean, like, you're never going to quash the sin desire entirely, right? We live in a fallen world. It's not until after the resurrection and the last days that we're going to be freed from sin. Because mm-hmm. it comes down to a choice of, like, you know, temptation will come and God's spirit will convict. And then it's up to you to choose which one you're going to go with. Mm-hmm. So, like, just understanding God more and more, so that you want to choose him because you recognize that the blessings that he'll give and the goodness that he is, and the fact that he represents all that is good. You know, God is love. God is truth. He is good. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Like, these are things that can only be sourced from him. And so having that perspective is really the only thing that will let you, you know, break through some of the things in modern day, because, you know, they're just going to bombard you otherwise until you give in.
Yeah.
And so, like, unless you have that foundation, you're not going to be able to save yourself or help to spread the light to anybody else.
I agree. I love that you said there are the other side of good things too, that you can also find the good things mm-hmm. at your fingertips. So it's just, making a choice. But I was reading something this morning as we are filming on Valentine's Day, and I was looking at some Valentine's, like, scripture, and which, you know, friends and relationships. And I feel like for you guys, this generation, and not just for you guys, but for everyone, but one way that teens can maybe avoid things is to get a group of friends that are, you know, with God. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that this has been the pivoted change that happened to Antonio. Once he started to be with friends that knew Jesus, that knew the Bible, that loved Jesus, you know, the way that he's to be loved and worshipped and all of this, you know, he changed a lot. He still has a long way to go, so I'm not saying that he's perfect. You know that. But this kid is on fire. And I mm-hmm. think that, you know, being friends with all of you guys has really contributed to that. So I just wanted to say this. Take a look at who your friends are, right? And then mm-hmm. My dad used to say that, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you where you're going or who you are, because, right, our group says a lot. Mm-hmm. So besides the gathering and, like, your church life, what is your routine with God? Like, how do you get your knowledge? What do you do? Do you have, like, a morning routine or a mm-hmm. night, or how do you go about your relationship?
I always kind of have a set of time in the morning after, like, you know, maybe I'll shower first or whatever, but I always have a dedicated time in the morning to just read at least a couple chapters of the Word and just kind of start my day off with prayer and the Bible. And then mm-hmm. from there, the routine I try to establish is that I always want to set aside that morning time at night for prayer, and then usually at least one other chunk kind of in the afternoon. That kind of tends to be my routine. And then, you know, I'll insert, you know, worship and prayer into those sorts of things as well as I kind of make time for it. But mm-hmm. that kind of tends to be my daily routine. I'm not perfect at it, sure. obviously. There are days that I miss and days that I try and be a little bit more proactive. But yeah, my general daily routine is like a chapter or two in the morning with prayer and just kind of starting off the day with God, and then doing a kind of devoted time of study in the afternoon, and then kind of coming back to groups with him at night for prayer, for sleep, and then just kind of general, like, hey, throughout the day, maybe I've asked for prayer requests for people, so I'll usually talk about those with him as well.
I love that you're using your free time that you guys have lots of in a very, you know, wise way. I told you he was wise beyond his years. So what advice would you give for parents going through, you know, children that are in the rebellious mm-hmm. stage and they're just losing hope and have no idea what to do?
I mean, the most important thing that you can do for a child who is in a rebellious phase or even just like a confused phase of just like not really knowing what they believe, like even if it's not, you know, necessarily the overt of like running away from God, even if they're just confused and they're not like entirely sure that they like fully buy into the mm-hmm. Christian ethos. I think like the biggest thing that parents can do is just be consistent. Because I think the thing that Satan used in my life to really kind of get me against my parents is things that I perceive to be inconsistent about their belief systems. Like for me specifically, because like I've said, I'm very kind of rigid in my thinking. So like if you have a child who's like me and can be fairly rigid with things, if you've taught them that God says this about a topic, but you're not saying that all the time about that topic, and also you're not going to be perfect, but like if you're consistently displaying a casualness towards your supposed God-mandated beliefs, that can be a very big turnoff for kids who are trying to decide whether or not they believe, because wow. they are, you know, they're trying to find a foundation, right? Because that's what really that's what teenagers are looking for, whether or not they know that consciously enough to say it. Really, they're looking for a foundation to build the rest of their lives on. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to turn towards whatever seems the most stable. And so a lot of times they tend to find that in, you know, their group of friends, because, you know, they see them at school every day sure. or, you know, they have, and so they're building these, you know, dynamics and these relationships with them. And so like, you know, being proactive in your kids' friendships and school life and like that sort of thing can be important, but also just like in your home life, just being consistent about like, you know, do you talk to your kids about your faith? Do you, you know, do you pray for them? And that sort of thing of like, whether it's like directly with them or just for them, you know, like take, you know, take Job for an example of like, you know, he would offer extra sacrifices before God on the, so that on the off chance that his kids did something, you know, that was against God, they would already have provision for them. So like as a parent, there are certain steps that you can take personally to cover your kids. And that's the other thing. You're the authority in their yes. life. Like, you know, I think there's a dangerous trend, I would say, among kind of millennials and Gen Z and into Gen Alpha, of this idea of like gentle parenting, like the idea of like your kid, whether, you know, even, I mean, it's only now that like I'm 18 that like my parents have kind of stepped back a little bit, sure. but like, you know, when you're, you know, 15, 16, even 17, even if you're a senior in high school, like your parents are still very much your parents. Like, you know, so like they, like you need to be able to competently exercise that authority. Like, because like, you know, your teenager is going to think you're a tyrant no matter what you do. They just are, because yes. because we don't want to listen to anybody. So like even ourselves, a lot of the time we don't. Yeah. It's like I said that before. No, I didn't. No, I'm yeah. saying this now. It's like we don't care. We're going to find our way to try and subvert you, because that's just what we do, because, you know, we're, you know, we're
teenagers.
Little,
yeah, we're you're teenagers. Pushing boundaries. That's right. the thing exactly. that I've learned.
Yeah. And yeah. so I think the best thing for parents is just to be consistent, even to. And I think this is the other hard thing for parents, even to the point of if it can become a breaking point. Because mm-hmm. like, not to get too personal into things, but like my sister had a season of rebellion where she basically kind of cut ties with my family for a little bit. You know, my parents had to be strong through that. And so they had to just like, they were very clear with her that like the lifestyle that you're currently living and the things that you're pursuing are in direct contrast with God's standards. And we're not just going to keep funding your life for that. Wow. So like, you know, like, we love you. We're still open to you if you want to come back and talk around. You know, we'll be here if you really need us. But like, we're not just going to keep, you know, giving you a blank check to do what you're going to do because we believe these things. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think like, you know, obviously that's a little bit of extreme example. But I think like even in the smaller versions of that, of like, you know, you're, you know, maybe your teenagers, you know, hanging out with a group of friends that, you know, you're not super fond of and that you think are leading them down a bad path or whatever, like, I mean, as much as they're going to not like you for it at the time, like mm-hmm. being able to exact punishments on them if they are, you know, if they're consistently doing things that you don't like, you need to punish them for it. Yeah. Like, you know, and it doesn't matter that they're probably going to get mad at you and storm around the house or be frustrated with you. It's like, if you believe in God's standards and you believe in the authority he's given you as a parent, you need to exercise it, whether regardless of what your child thinks. And so like, yeah. Because, you know, I look back on all the things that my parents did. Because, you know, I mean, I love my parents now. Like my mom is my favorite person on planet Earth now. Which is not how it was for a long time. But, like, the other thing from my mom specifically is, like, she was very proactive. Like, you know, kind of the little things. Like, you know, we tend to think of it as, like, a silly cliche about, like, you know, hey, how'd your day at school was? Mm-hmm. You know, just that little, like, you know, 3-minute conversation of, like, yeah, mom, it was good. But, like, those little investments add up. And your child will ultimately look back on them. But even in the moments, like, you know, there are moments where, like, you know, even if you're, like, with your friends and, like, you know, one of the things that I remember is, like, my mom, I was on the phone with one of my friends or whatever. And, like, my mom came in and she asked me to pray. Mm-hmm. And so she prayed over me just for that moment. And, like, that was a moment where my friend was like, man, your mom really cares about you. Aww. And, like, I was still in the rebellious phase of, like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, that sort of, like, consistency of perspective of, like, those are the moments that show what kind of parent you are. And so, like, those are the sorts of things that will leave lasting marks on your kids going forward. And so just being proactive of, like, you know, my child isn't all that I want him to be, but I'm not going to give up on him for that. I'm going to be more consistent and more diligent and rise to the challenge as opposed to just staying the way I am. I want my kid to believe the way I do. So let me give him a reason to do it type of thing. Because again, like, vices are easy and virtue is hard. Mm-hmm. And so if all you're giving is the theology of virtues without actually actions, like, living them out, mm-hmm. Your child is going to look at you and say, well, he's going to say what Jesus said to the Pharisees of your whitewashed tombs. You claim all these things, but we live together and I see that you don't do all these things when we're at home.
Yeah.
So why would I pursue after you instead of just, like, you know, going off with my friends and doing what they're doing? Because that's easy. It seems to be more fun, mm-hmm. and it gives them that immediate hit. Like, I mean, I'm not a parent, so, like, I don't know all the, you know, I obviously can't speak to the specific ways of doing it, but, like, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and just being active about it. I mean, that's another thing that, like, my mom has told me that she used to do, of, like, asking the Holy Spirit for, like, you know, specific insights about, mm-hmm. you know, what her kid is struggling with and just praying for that. So, like, that sort of thing.
I think that the prayer is definitely, like, a first one for me. Like, when, you know, I'm sure you know the story with Antonio's sister. Mm-hmm. And it was really rough, too. So it was a season of a lot of despair and a lot of tests of faith. And I just remember, like, getting on my knees first thing and praying over her over and over and being consistent. When she got back home, she was still, like, very much on the verge of, like, we didn't know if she was gonna last when she came home from rehab. And I was very adamant that she would have to do what we told her to do. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, you know, the Lord gave me that whole year, 9 months that she was gone, to prepare me for when she got back. And I was like, I know what I need to do in order for her to stay, at least my part, because it will depend on her too. Mm-hmm. But, and I did, and I put the boundaries. That's one thing that we learned so much through that season, is that kids are going to look to push boundaries until they see where the parents are going to give in to. And so if you're a parent struggling with this, set the boundaries and stay there. And it's so difficult. I'm saying this because of my own experience. It's so hard, but it will be good for the long run. So Sophia learned something through her rehab stays, that it says hard, easy, easy, hard. Mm-hmm. So it's hard right now, but it will be easy. You're setting your child up for success in the future. Yeah. But if you go the easy route right now, then you're going to pay the price later on. It will come, you know, it will come. So thanks for sharing about your sister.
Well, just as a final point on that, of, like, I think the other thing that's very important is being united as a parental front of, like, because, you know, I mean,
so important.
One of the classic adages is, you know, if mom says no, well, then go ask dad.
Yes.
You know, so, like, that class, because, like you said, kids will find every way they can to try and get around what they don't like. And so there are all sorts of things that, like, you can do as a parent to, like, so just have your conversations with your spouse of just, like, hey, this is the rule that we're enforcing, and this is what, you know, be consistent about that across both parents to make it clear that that's, like, so that they're not picking and choosing between mom and dad about different things.
Yeah.
Because that can also be very destabilizing. And so, like, that's another thing that my parents did, I would say, pretty well. And the other thing is just like, I mean, like if you have a child who is pretty consistently like trying to do that, like the other thing could just be like, you might have to implement the system where every time your child comes to ask you something and you say no, you then immediately go over to your spouse and be like, hey, say no if he asks this.
Yes.
So like, you know, like you might not have to do that for every child, you know, maybe your child isn't like that, but like if your child is doing that, then, you know, you might need to take that extra step of like, cause you know, you can't like, you have authority over your child, but you can't, you know, you're not gonna be able to puppeteer them around.
Sure.
And so like, you can't control your child's actions, but you can control yours. Mm-hmm. And so taking that extra step to just like be proactive and like, here are the things that I can do. Cause you know, a lot of times I think there can get to this point where parents are like, well, it's just out of my control. It's like, you know, I have a little demon child. Like, well, what do you want me to do? And just like, you know, kind of just wallow in the fact that they aren't feel like they're able to do anything. And it's like, what God would want you to do there is to rise to the challenge instead of just lying down and just taking it. Like, take more steps, be more active, you know. Like, you know, the other thing, like my parents never really kind of let us have social media for the most part. They were very guarded about that. And the other thing is like my parents from their own experiences, they decided that they basically didn't allow us to do sleepovers at all. So like that was another thing that was just, you know, different about my family of just like, hey, like my parents had like in their youth, they had made some poor decisions at sleepovers because, you know, whether it was because their parents didn't vet the people they were going with or they just found ways to get around the vetations that their parents did. Because, again, that's what kids do.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like taking those kind of hardline stance, and that's going to, you know, it might not make you the most popular family on the block. You know, if you're the family that says, no, we're not going to that social event. No, we're not doing that sort of thing. No, we're not allowing that kind of talk in our house. No, you can't listen to those songs. No, you can't be on that app. Mm-hmm. Like that might, like you said, like easy, hard or hard, easy. It's like, that's going to be very hard for your strain, your relationship for a little while. But like, you know, I mean, you can use me as a testimony. Like, makes me feel so embarrassed sometimes. I would literally, like, my parents, you know, they would send me up to my room, and like, literally, I would curse them every step under my breath. I know a lot of times we make jokes about kids being evil. Like, legit, I was a bad kid. Like, I might not have had some of like you know, the drug addictions or anything like that, but like I was just a mean kid.
Yeah.
Like that's just like kind of who, like at that time I was just like really mean. And so like I know for a fact that was really hard on my parents, but like, you know, now, like, you know, I mean, again, like
you appreciate now.
Yeah, like I thank God every day for my parents now, because you know, like the proclivities that I had and even some of the popularity that I held just, you know, by virtue of who God made me in high school. Like if I had more lax parents who just kind of like
let you do what you
just
wanted to
do. Who were just kind of, like just like maybe not even like bad parents, but just like not Christian parents. Like if I had been born into a not Christian family, I'm horrified to think what I might have gotten myself into. Because, you know, like with some of the same opportunities, if I didn't have the foundation of God that like I believed in, even if I didn't always act it out, I probably could have taken a lot more dark turns than I ended up doing. And so like, that's the other thing of like also recognizing that like, just because your kid isn't full in for Jesus doesn't mean that they don't see you and doesn't mean that they don't always, like, even if they tell you like, oh yeah, whatever, mom, like,
yeah, they're watching.
They're
us.
Watching. Yes. Yeah. They always are. Mm-hmm. And so like, that will give God the open door to like, you know, there were times in my life where like with some of the relationships I got into, you know, that were romantic in nature and not exactly healthy. Mm-hmm. Like there were a couple of times in those relationships that I distinctly remember that feeling of like both sides of the coin. Like it was very much a crossroads of like, are we going to go this way or are we going to go this way? And it was like having you as a parent to lay out one of those paths, because like the world's path is always going to be there.
Oh yeah.
It's always
wide and easy. Yes.
Wide and easy.
Yeah.
And so like you can't stop them from walking down that path if they want to, but what you can do is give them the opportunity to walk the other path. And I think that's the other thing that parents can kind of struggle with, is like they see their kid kind of walking the bad path, but then they don't show them the other way.
Yeah. Ryan and I used to butt heads a lot about what was allowed and what was not. Well, we have cultural differences or whatever, so sometimes things weren't a big deal for me, and we were very much lax as parents, like raising the kids, not in a strong, you know, Christian environment. But once that all of that happened to Sophia, it was so tough, but it was also helped us to be better parents. And now we ask, and I mean, now the kids are grown and make a lot better choices, but we learned to be like, did you ask your dad already? So if they came to us, so I knew what to say. So if daddy said no, then that's the final answer, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a good way of going about it. Like ask them, like, have you asked dad already? Or mom, Anyway, so what is next for Jack? Like, what are you going to do with your life?
I've been talking with God and my parents a lot recently, you know, over the past like maybe 2 or so years about kind of what he has for me. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that the thing that he's told me is that he wants me to be a shepherd for his people. And so like one of the things that he's talked a lot about to me is the ability he's given me to kind of discern where things are going wrong and kind of being sensitive to fluctuations in, like, you know, whether it's laxity or just like false doctrine or that sort of thing. Like, again, he's given me a love for his word and just, you know, he's trained me in the ability to just kind of, you know, sit for, you know, 6 hours and just kind of listen to it, to people talk about the Bible.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, trying to build myself into a man who is honorable and worthy of, you know, one of God's daughters. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's another thing that, like,
or
like,
I love that. You know,
one of the silly things that, like, me and my mom talk about is just like, you know, even something as simple as, like, you know, like taking the brush she gave me to, like, you know, brush my hair after a shower so that, you know, it's not just, you know, all shaggy, like, yeah. You know, down in my face, you know, so I don't look like a typical, like, you know,
teenager, like, yeah, exactly. Bad head.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you know, the little things of just, like, you know, taking proactive steps to, you know, like, you say you want to have a family, so make yourself attractable to people who also want a family.
Mm.
So, like, I try and be that to the best of my flawed ability.
Yeah. But,
and I think that's another thing that, like, my generation really struggles with. Of, I mean, the dating culture in modern days, I mean, like, A, it's not very biblical, but B, it's also, like, very, it's become very selfish and cutthroat. And so, like, you know, whether it's, you know, the stereotypical example of, like, dating apps on Tinder,
mm-hmm.
or even just, like, you know, the fact that, like, we're not, you know, like, in a sense, we're the most connected yet fragmented generation of all time, because, you know, you can talk to hundreds of thousands of people with a press of a button, but you've never seen more than 3 people face to face type of thing.
Very
of
true.
Like, a lot of my friends are not very, like, exactly well socialized, I guess, like, in the sense of, like, they have their, like, tight knit little groups. And they just kind of stay there and then go to war with all the other groups. The idea of echo chambers is so much more prevalent in our generation, specifically when it comes to the dating scene, of, like, there are so many worldly things that gets talked about, whether it's, like, the doom and gloom, all marriage doesn't work anymore, it's all archaic and destroyed, and divorce court is where you're going to end up no matter what. That's, like, that sort of doom and gloom.
That's so
or the other side of just, like, well, you know, just kind of live however you want. Marriage is fine, but it doesn't really mean anything. So, like, you know, go ahead and sleep with who you want and whenever you want and, you know, however you want. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. And, like, that sort of thing. Like, the commodification of romance, commitment, and sex itself, I think, is something that our generation is having to really confront, as, you know, now that Gen Z is, you know, getting to the point where the younger echelon of Gen Z is now pretty much all into adulthood, or at least getting there. We're having to contend with the fact that, like, most of the people at, like, you know, our public high schools aren't Christians. And a lot of the people that we know and have grown up with aren't believers. And so, like, having Christian groups is important, but also being able to, like, you know, be an example to your secular friends of, like, or like, even just recognizing the fact that, like, culture is going to laugh at you because I'm, you know, I've gone through high school and I'm a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who will laugh at me because of that. And they're like, oh, you're such a prude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know people who, you know, lost their virginity at, like, 13. Aww. Because it's just, that's just how it goes sometimes. And, like, there are, and, like, that sort of prevalent, like, promiscuity and nudity and all that sort of stuff from social media bleeds into, you know, how we, because, you know, again, like, teenagers tend to imitate whatever they see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, as we're kind of constructing ourselves, if the things we're being fed through, you know, our algorithms or whatever are all sexualized, well, our personalities are going to become sexualized. And so we're going to throw ourselves at each other because A, we're hormonal, mm-hmm. but B, because that's the thing that's being told to us is
you want
to
cool fit thing. In.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And, so. And I heard about the body counts now of girls. It's mm-hmm. like, it's, they pridefully display and talk about body counts, which is, if like me, you had no idea what that is. It's like, it means how many boys or people they slept with, which is, mm-hmm. that is just, to me, it's so evil. If you don't think that that's evil, then you're wrong. Because there's just, it's, you know, not that it's, you know, people are going to make mistakes. They're going to do things and it doesn't mean that they cannot be forgiven, but just the fact that this is something that they're, you know, so proud to display and seek mm-hmm. is just really sickening and sad, because they're not, you know, they're giving themselves out to nobody's. Yeah. You know, it just really is damaging to the soul. It like affects you in a way that you cannot see right now, or you may not see right now, but in the long run, it will show itself. So, all right, Jack. So before we let you go, what are some of the projects that you want to plug in? Like, where can people find you if they want to talk to you? Kids out there that are maybe like on the fence about Jesus, if they want to chat about, and you know, answers, or what are the best ways to reach you at?
Me and a couple of my buddies are attempting to get our own podcast off the ground. It'll be called The Unbound Path. The goal is to get that started. So, well, you can probably look that up on YouTube. And then the other thing of just like, you know, in general for young people and, you know, anybody, but young people specifically listening, you know, just like finding, you know, looking up, whether it's like, you know, your local churches, online, you know, ministries, or even just like two guys that I really like to listen to, Chuck Misler and Mike Wigner, are two, guys who do, Chuck Misler does like really in-depth like breakdowns of the books of the Bible. And so he'll go chapter by chapter through different books and just kind of like teach on them. And then Mike Wigner tends to do a lot of like cultural stuff. So like they're two really good resources that I love to use and that have really helped me kind of explore what I think about, you know, the Bible and God and his perspective on things.
You guys stay tuned for his YouTube channel. I'll make sure to like let you know on an episode or something when that's up, because I think it would be so incredibly beneficial for not only you just, you know, pull out all the knowledge that you have and all this fire, but also I'm sure help so many other kids, you know, to relate to more of like an 18-year-old versus a 45-year-old woman, you know. So what we're gonna do, guys, if there's anybody who's struggling with anything out there that you might want to ask Jack for help or have a question, even for his parents, you know, that they seem like wonderful people, you can leave the comments here in the YouTube channel, or you can reach us through social media too. I will make sure to get you connected with Jack, and then, you know, have you guys chat or whatnot. So that would be the easiest way that we can do this. I think that's it for today. Would you like to close us in prayer,
Jack? Yeah, absolutely. Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you and to this audience about all the things that you're doing in my life and in Karina's life and just in the lives of your children in general, Lord. So we just ask that you would use this time that we've had here to reach out to your kids across the world, Lord, through YouTube and through, you know, word of mouth travel after they've watched the video to their friends, Lord. We just ask that you would watch over us and protect us, and that you would fulfill the promises of your scriptures that tell us from Psalms that you will lead us into green pastures and beside calm waters, and that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall not fear evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort us. So Lord, we just rest ourselves into your hands and into your peace that passes all understanding. We just ask, Lord, that you would guide us in our daily lives and the little things to be faithful with you, so that when you have opportunities for us in the big things, you'll be able to trust us because we've shown ourselves to be faithful to you. Lord, we just ask that you would concern your angels with us, and that they would be with us to travel and just to protect us, Lord, that your spirit would guide and bring discernment into our lives, whether it's for the young people who are struggling and trying to find exactly what their lives are supposed to look like for the years ahead, or whether it's for parents or adults who are set in their ways but looking for a new perspective or a way to help raise up their children. Lord, we just pray that your spirit would speak uniquely to them and to give them the things they need from your scriptures, from your spirit, and from the anointing of your hand. Father, we just thank you that you are watching over us day and night, that you do not fail us, that you will never fail us, and that you have purchased us through the blood of Christ, and that we can find relief and restoration through him, Lord. So we just ask, as we lay these things down and as we lay ourselves down at your feet, Lord, that you would just acknowledge us and hear our prayers and receive our praise as a pleasing sound and as a blessing to your heart and a joy to you, Father. We just thank you so much for everything that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will continue to do. And we just pray your wisdom for your church, so that we can be a light and a beacon to this lost and broken world around us. We just pray these things in the name of our Lord, our Savior, and Redeemer, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.